Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad. Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Adele.
Hello.
It's me. I need a cup of coffee, and I can't get to Strange Brew.
Hello from a Strange Brew.
I went to StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Her voice is deeper. We could actually use our regular voices with her.
Well, and hello. I should have gotten the key first before we started, but I didn't know you were going to get with Adele.
I don't know how to get the key. So let's take your.
I'm not warmed up. I'm not prepared.
Me. Wherever you are in our great state, if you're an Adele or Olivia Rodrigo or any other female singer, wherever, if you're listening to the sound of our voice, Taylor Swift or Miley Cyrus, I don't know any of these people. But if you are and you want great coffee, it's a click away at StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Our friends at Pip Printing and Signs have got an incredible deal for you, the Mississippi State business owner. They know you're already spending money on printing. They want your business, and they want to turn your sale to them around and give part of that back to the Bulldog Initiative. So you can become a Bulldog Initiative business without spending any more money than you're already spending. You need to talk to my friend Camden Baker. He will take care of everything. You just tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning, and he's going to set you up with a great program for marketing, for signage, whatever it is your business needs. And on top of that, like I said, he's going to donate 10% right back to the Bulldog Initiative. His number is 601-499-5216. He'll get everything taken care of. Just say you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. This is a new era of Mississippi State. A new brand, a new identity. You need to be up to date with that, and that includes changing out those banner rim polos for state script, for interlocking, for M over S. You need to have that look. That's what I want to see people wearing this fall when we get to Davis Wade Stadium. I'll let you get through the rest of the year, these last few weekends of baseball. If you've got a banner rim, I won't say anything. That's my promise to you. Can I see you in Davis Wade next year with a banner rim on? I swear.
We're gonna have time to start filtering it out.
Yeah. So make it happen with a trip to College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. For lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to have a special occasion, or if you just want the dinner to be the special occasion, make a reservation for dinner at Restaurant Tyler. Fantastic steaks, best in town, great pasta dishes, chicken, and fantastic appetizers and desserts. My favorite dessert, the stuffed pancake. I get misty-eyed just thinking about it. So next time you need to have a special occasion, you need to book a table at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them help you find a location near you. And while you're there, take a look at all the financial services offered by Priority One Bank. You're going to be surprised, I think. You might think it's just a small town community bank. And at its heart, it is. But they offer you everything that you can get at those big corporate banks. But, and it's a big but, they don't offer you, there is one thing they don't offer you, And that's the terrible service that you get at those big corporate banks. They're going to take care of you. They're just a your bank. Your money is just a phone call away when you bank with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Massive baseball series starting up tomorrow in Fayetteville. Historically, Arkansas has dominated Mississippi State under Chris Lemonis. Swept in 2019, swept in 2021, despite winning a national title. They were able to finally get a win in 2022, and then swept last year. So if I'm doing the math right there, that means Lemonis is 1-11 against the Hogs in his time here at Mississippi State. That's the past. This is the present. I think this is a matchup where State's pitching has to carry the Bulldogs. I think that if they're going to win, these are going to be low-scoring games. And Kyle Steven, Gerangelo Sanjay, and Brooks Auger, assuming he gets the start, they're going to have to really deliver for Mississippi State this weekend. That's my opinion.
Yeah, best pitcher in the SEC is on the mound on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. And Hagen's.
That's
a great.
But also,
that's a great.
Yeah. Brady Tigert's really good. Mm-hmm. You know, Mississippi kid. This is always, it seems like, one of the best pitching staffs in the SEC. They pitch it really well. They might not always have the most talented guys in the league, but they do most of the time. But they pitch it really well. They don't make a ton of mistakes out there defensively, and they are very, very good at home. They have 31 of their 40 wins this year at home.
Mm.
They're 31-2. So at home, this is a team that's very, very difficult to beat. And, you know, one of those home losses came in the first week in the season. So lately, especially, they've been dominant. Now, they lost a series at Kentucky last week, and they weren't particularly good. Very good against Florida 2 weeks ago. So it's that right now they're not just super dominant. I'll say that. But this is still a team that's going to be very difficult for Mississippi State to beat. It's the offense this year has not been what it has been sometimes in the past for them. But what they do is they pitch it really well on the front end, and they have a couple of good guys in the back end too. And they just don't make a lot of mistakes. And Mississippi State does make a lot of mistakes. Silly mistakes. And it might not be defensively all the time, but a lot of times it's silly little things here and there that cost them ball games. State cannot have that happen. They have to play just about perfect baseball to win this series. But my goal going into the series is to find a way to not get swept, because I really believe if you can win one of these games and you win the series next week against Missouri, you're going to be in position to host. If you sweep against Missouri, you will host. But you cannot get swept in the series. State has got to find a way to win one, and they usually do at Arkansas. But strangely enough, they get swept at home a lot of times. They usually find a way to win a game at Arkansas. So I think that's, to me, that's the goal in our minds. And the team's going into this hoping to win the series, of course, and that everybody wants to win the series. But I think the ultimate goal here is play really, really good baseball, the best baseball you possibly can. And it's hard to imagine Mississippi State can't find a way to win at least one. And we'll see beyond that. But for State, it's all about itself. And that's how it's been since the start of the season. You take care of yourself, you're going to put yourself in good position.
You hit on something there that I hadn't really thought about, but you're right. Arkansas, despite the fact that they've been winning, isn't really playing their best baseball over the last 2 weeks. Whereas Mississippi State, you can make a pretty strong argument they have played their best baseball. Yes, they have made some of those mistakes. But the way I put it on Sports Talk was, State's a good team. They're not a great team. They're not an elite team. So they're not going to play perfect or anywhere close to it. But most games, they're going to do enough to win. Mm-hmm. Some games, like you saw on Sunday, they are not going to do enough to win. They're going to do the opposite. And it's almost like if State plays not even mistake-free, right? Because you're going to have an error. You're going to have a walk here and there. And those are forgivable. But when State piles on the errors, when they have, you know, they had two on Sunday. Chris Lemonis said if I had been scoring, it would have been four. That's when State can't overcome that. But if State can play relatively clean, they can win. Arkansas, is kind of the same way, you know. But they are closer to elite. In fact, I don't know if they're an elite team, but they're very, very good. They're definitely in the top tier this year. I don't know that college baseball this year has a truly elite team, a team that you think back to Arkansas in 2021. I know they didn't win the national title, but throughout the season, you're like, that's the best team in the country.
Almost all those teams either lose before they get to Omaha or they don't win the national championship.
But, you know, last year, the opposite, though. LSU was able to, the whole year was like, they were the best team in the country and they won the national. There's not a team in college baseball this year that I just point and go, that's the best team in the country, no questions asked. Is there one for you? I don't think that there should be.
Tennessee and Texas A&M are close.
They're close.
But I don't even know if this is like Tennessee's like most talented team.
No. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they've been more talented. But as far as just doing most things well, I think they're there. I think A&M is certainly there. They hit the ball well. They play pretty good defense. They pitch it well. That's probably close to it. But there doesn't seem to be an LSU from last year out there that just looks like an unbeatable force, or, you know, Arkansas from 2021, like you said. Trying to think of another team. That Tennessee team that lost to Notre Dame and then Supers was really, really good.
They were a couple years ago. The best team in the country the whole year. Yeah, but this year there doesn't seem to be that team.
Yeah.
To me, that plays into Mississippi State's advantages when we get into postseason play, because I feel like everybody's beatable. I feel like there's not, you know, there's not a region you're paired up, you're like, oh gosh, we're going to play them. I don't think anybody. I think even like Kentucky, I think I saw today in Baseball America, Kentucky was the overall one seed. Whoever goes to the Lexington Regional is going to be like, we can get them. We can beat Kentucky. I really do feel that way. So, interesting. Speaking of that that article, Teddy Cahill today put out his latest projections. Still has not put Mississippi State as a host spot. He had State as the number two seed in the Durham Regional, and the Durham Regional is the 15 overall seed Duke. So what that tells me is that they're getting closer, right? If they're sliding down the two seeds, which means they're getting closer to being a one seed. My guess is if State gets through this weekend with one win, I was thinking back to last weekend, and maybe I'm off. It was like 2 weekends ago. When State beat Vanderbilt on Saturday, they saw a noticeable RPI jump before they even won the series. So my guess is a win on Saturday, a loss on Friday. Let's just play this out. So they lose Friday. They probably drop maybe a spot, right? They're 18th. They might drop to 19th. But a win on Saturday might push them up to like 15th. And then it becomes whatever happens on Sunday. You either jump up to like 12 or you drop down to like 17 or 18. You're right back where you started. I feel like maybe next week's projections are going to have Mississippi State as a host. Now, D1 will put their projections out a little later today or maybe tomorrow. And those, Kendall and his crew have got State hosting at this point, but Teddy does not. You know, I think you and I both lean towards they're going to host, but I see where Teddy's coming from. If anything, he's basically saying that he doesn't trust State to not slip up against Missouri, he's saying that State could get swept this weekend.
Yeah, and that's fair. I think that's totally fair.
Yeah.
And I agree with Kendall too. Like, State would have to play their way out of it at this point. And you're projecting, you're talking about, what is this team going to do the next 2 weekends too? It's not just about where they are right now. Kendall believes that this team has done enough. If it stays on path, it's going to host. And I agree with that. I think that if you're projecting and you think Mississippi State wins this weekend and they win a game this weekend and then they take the series against Missouri, I think that's enough. And we will have to wait and see if it is indeed, but I think that's going to be enough. But this weekend's huge. I think you can really put yourself in a bind this weekend, or you can be in pretty good shape if you're able to go up there and do something special. And they did it at Vanderbilt, which has been a tough place to play. I think Arkansas is a much better team than Vanderbilt, but this is a big opportunity for State. And so far, they've taken advantage of opportunities since the Ole Miss series. I mean, even if they didn't sweep the series against Alabama, that's a tough team to beat. A team, by the way, that beat this Arkansas team in a series. I think they've been able to kind of rise to the occasion on the weekends more often than not here in the last few weeks.
Yeah, the way that they've responded, I keep going back to that Ole Miss series, and a lot of the past couple of years, losing that series would have sunk this team, would have absolutely torpedoed them. Instead, they've bounced back and played really good baseball since then. They sweep Arkansas, or sweep Auburn. They take two out of three from both a top 15 ranked Vanderbilt and a top 15 ranked or top 25 ranked Alabama team. I've been impressed with that because I'll be honest with you, coming out of Oxford, I was like, this season could tip the other way, and it hasn't. They've kept going the right direction. So this series, they just got to do what they've been doing all year. They have not gotten swept all year in a road series. That's the key to postseason play, is to win your home series, don't get swept on the road, and find one sweep if you can at home. State's done that, and they look like they're poised to maybe do it twice with Missouri. We'll have to see when that time comes, but just getting the win is going to be a huge, no pun intended, win for the Bulldogs. If they somehow find a way to get to two, then we can stop with the speculation, I think, and start thinking, okay, there's going to be baseball here the last weekend of May. So we'll see.
And, you know, you win two and you do some big things next weekend, you start talking about, can this team move into the top eight?
It does. It gets close, yeah. At that point, you know, I never know how the SEC tournament is viewed by the committee. But it becomes where if you could maybe make it to Friday, because I was talking about this yesterday on Sports Talk. We were talking about the Ole Miss in terms of what they would have to do, because Richard will not give up the dream that they're going to make the tournament. But whatever. But if State were to go to Hoover as it stands today, and let's say they make it to Friday, that means they would have beaten Ole Miss on Tuesday, which would, I mean, at worst would be a top 40 neutral site win. You'd have to beat Texas A&M, which would be a top five win. And then to get to Friday, you're probably going to have to beat Arkansas again. Or I'm sorry, no, you would probably play you'd play Kentucky. You'd have to beat Kentucky.
You're probably going to have a top 10 RPI.
At that point, so this is our dream scenario. State wins this series, sweeps Missouri, and gets to Friday in Hoover, they would be a top eight seed at that point, I think.
You're also talking about, you're probably at 40 wins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Overall.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, a 40-win team that has – because we're thinking that this team, if in that near-perfect scenario, State probably wins the series against Arkansas and maybe – because I think they need to win the series and sweep Missouri to get into that conversation. At that point, you have
– 32 wins right now?
Yeah.
So that's five.
And that would be – that would be 19 SEC wins in the regular season,
yeah,
which is a good, really good number to kind of put you in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then you would end up winning 23 or 24 games against SEC teams at that point. That's a national seed. There's no doubt about it. I think it probably would take a couple of wins in the SEC tournament for them to get in that, to feel good about it.
Yeah.
But if you do what I just said and you win 19 SEC games – you count the game against Ole Miss, which I think would be taken into consideration. That's 20 wins against SEC teams in the regular season.
It's again, State gave away this national.
Oh my God,
non-conference. They gave it away.
Well, when you really start to break it down, and again, I always preface this with, I do believe that has helped shape this team into what it's become. So I think they had to go through the rigors there to kind of find ways to win, but if we're just going to be black and white about it and talk about the games they should have gotten, I mean, you're talking about a team right now that should already have 18 to 19 SEC wins with two weekends left and is probably in the driver's seat to win the SEC. That's just how different this season could be at this point for Mississippi State had they been able to win those games. Again, a black and white conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taking in any nuances or any kind of intricacies that could have shaped this team, which I think those losses did, like I said. But if we just break down those games and say if they just would have done these little things right, this is a team that could very easily be have 18 wins right now, 18 or 19 wins. And that's just saying you just assume they might have lost a couple of those games that they could have won anyway. So it's kind of a tough pill to swallow, but at the same time, this team still has just about everything in front of it. I mean, they're not going to win the SEC, and the national seed is going to be really difficult to get. But you still – the goal is always get to Omaha first. Secondly, it's host regionals. And that option is still available for Mississippi State if they can just come out and take care of business. And it's in their hands.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, let's get a little bit more talk about Arkansas here. Let's find out a little bit more about the Razorbacks. I was joined earlier today by Jackson Fuller. He covers the Razorbacks for Gannett USA Today, the Southwest Times leader, and got his thoughts on the Arkansas Razorbacks and this series coming up this weekend. Huge series this weekend for Mississippi State. Huge series for Arkansas as well as they try to maybe clinch an SEC championship. Jackson Fuller joins us now, covers the Hogs for the Southwest Times Record and for Gannett. And Jackson, I look at this Arkansas team. They're a really, really good team. I don't think they're the elite Arkansas team that we've seen in years past. You know, is this finally going to be the team, in your opinion, that breaks through and wins that national title, or do they have a flaw that we just don't see maybe?
I think my answer's changed a bunch the past 3 weeks, month. They can win the national title, and it starts with the pitching staff. It's still a great pitching staff. It's had a couple of not-so-great performances in recent weeks. It got hit around a little bit at Kentucky last weekend. But, I mean, Hagan Smith is the best pitcher in America. They've got probably the best bullpen in the country as well. Their other starters on the weekend have had some ups and downs this season. If those two guys, Mason Molina and Brady Tigert, are on, they're really, really tough to beat. But that offense is a huge question mark. It's struggled all year. And I think fans are starting to get a little frustrated with the offense. And those offensive struggles have just been highlighted because the pitching hasn't been at that elite, best in the entire country level in the past 2 weeks, especially against Kentucky last weekend.
We talked about it a little earlier on the podcast that it looks like Arkansas is not playing its best baseball right now, whereas Mississippi State might be playing their best baseball. They've won three series in a row now, including taking two from Vanderbilt on the road a couple weeks ago. And State's kind of a similar team, right? A really good pitching staff. The offense has not been what you would expect coming into the season. This Friday night matchup is great. Hagan Smith versus Kyle Steven. These might be the two best Friday night starters in the league. What does State have to do to get to Hagan Smith? Or do you have any evidence that he can be even gotten to at this point?
You hope and pray when you get off the bus he's having an off night. I mean, really, like, I think he has only gotten into trouble this year when he's walked guys and maybe had a little bit of a wild streak. And the trouble is, you know, it's super minimal still. I mean, a 1.36 ERA, he's like, I think he's still averaging close to 17 strikeouts per nine innings. It's crazy. I think if Mississippi State's got a chance, it's going to be a patient approach. And then when you do get runners on, you have to take advantage. I mean, last weekend, Kentucky, I think they were up 1-0, or it was a tie game, and they had runners on second and third with one out. And he struck out both the next two hitters to end the inning. And then from there, Arkansas really kind of ran away with the Friday night game. I think, you know, it really feels like every time Hagan goes on the mound, he's going to win. But, you know, like you said, this is a terrific pitching matchup. Steven is tremendous. And I think this is going to be the toughest opposing pitcher Hagan has personally gone up against all season. Maybe Oregon State early in the year would match, but it's going to be, I mean, it's the pitching matchups all weekend are going to be really fun, but yeah, Friday night's going to be special.
And then you mentioned the offenses. These are two teams that historically find guys who can put the ball over the fence, but Arkansas with only 64 home runs as a team, Mississippi State with only 57, 30 of those from just two guys in Hunter Hines and Dakota Jordan. If either team has an offensive explosion this weekend, they're going to win that game, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Arkansas's offense is – it's weird because you look at the lineup and you look at the stats and you think, well, you know, Peyton Stovall's hitting above 330. Peyton Holt's having a good year. They've gotten really surprisingly terrific seasons from guys like Jared Sprague-Law and Ben McLaughlin. It just hasn't culminated in a great offense, and I think the biggest reason for that is – The Hogs have been a little disappointed with their two stars, Kendall Diggs, a returner, and then Vahiva Aloy, a shortstop out of the transfer portal. I mean, Aloy leads the team in home runs and RBIs, and I think he's been solid, but he's got 11 home runs. I think Arkansas would have thought he'd be closer to 20 by now. And Kendall is just really having a difficult year. Dave Van Horn spoke a little bit about it on Monday. Like, just the pressure's on him. This is his draft eligible season. He's a captain. There's so much expected of this Arkansas team and him personally. It might be wearing on him a little bit, but he's the type of guy where he's, you know, one, two games away from busting out of that slump. And if that happens, I think I really do think Kendall Diggs might hold the key to just how far this team can go. If he can maybe find some rhythm here at the end of the year, this team, you know, like I said up front, they do have a chance to win the national championship. But as long as he's, you know, hitting 240 and struggling in big time spots with runners on base, I think it really minimizes the ceiling of this Arkansas team.
It's crazy when you look at Peyton Stovall, and he's only a junior. I feel like he's been there since 1996. That guy has played a ton of baseball for the Hogs over the past few years, and he said hitting 362 on the year, really having a great season. Arkansas, they have maybe the toughest finish to the schedule of anybody and of the contenders in the SEC. They have Mississippi State next week, and then, of course, they finish up with the huge series with Texas A&M in what's going to be, you know, probably decide – will definitely decide the West, and in all likelihood could decide the Southeastern Conference and who's going to be the one seed. State has been Arkansas's kind of whipping boy under Chris Lemonis for sure. I think I did the math today. He's 1-11 against the Hogs in his career there. Any chance you think that the Arkansas might be looking ahead to next weekend?
No, just because of how the previous weekend went against Kentucky, losing that series and really like the last two games past the third inning, it did not feel like Arkansas had any chance of winning those games. They've got to be locked in. I mean, if they're looking ahead to A&M, that is a problem for the team. I don't envision that to be the case, but I think this is a huge series for Arkansas because they're likely going to get to host a regional and then potentially, you know, be a national seed and get to host a super regional as well. And they've been so, so good at home this year. Something like, I think 30 something and two, they had a 25 game win streak. They've been terrific at home. They really need to keep that momentum rolling this weekend and kind of send a message to the country like, yeah, maybe we're not playing as good as we were earlier in this year, but if you have to come to Bomb Walker and try and beat us, you're probably not doing that, and that would be huge. You know, this is the final home regular season series to kind of make sure the momentum keeps rolling before a potential regional and a super regional. So, no, I don't think they'll be looking past Mississippi State, especially, you know, you look past Mississippi State and lose the series, all of a sudden you're putting yourself in a world of trouble trying to go win the SEC West down in College Station next weekend.
You mentioned the postseason. I don't know if you've seen, but D1 Baseball just put their latest regional projections out, and they have Mississippi State and Arkansas paired together. The Fayetteville Regional is the 5 seed, and then Starkville Regional as the 12 seed. Opportunity exists for us to maybe see this series replay itself in a super regional if that were to hold. I feel like in a postseason situation, I mean, it's the same as you've got this year, or this weekend, I should say, that, it, you know, I feel like Arkansas has a huge advantage, but Arkansas in the postseason these past few years has been something that, you know, there've been some slip-ups here and there. In a postseason matchup, does that change anything about your opinion on these two teams?
No, not really. I think Arkansas is, in a weird way, more suited to win a regional than a super regional because of the depth of the pitching staff where, you know, they're like I mentioned Molina and Tiger, the 2 and the 3, and, you know, sorry to get off on a tangent. Dave Van Horn has talked about maybe switching the weekend rotation this week. So we'll have to, you know, he'll probably announce that on Thursday whenever this podcast comes out. Sorry to date it right there.
But hold on a second then. Let me ask you, you're talking about maybe not seeing Hagen Smith on Friday?
No. Hagen Smith is going to go Friday. What Dave has said is that there could be a change to the rest of the rotation. And you could see sophomore Gage Wood enter the rotation instead of either Mason Molina or Brady Tigert. I would imagine it would be Molina who would make way because Dave has been really frustrated with the walks that he's been giving up in his two recent starts. I don't think that's going to happen because it's a little late to put a guy that just made his first career start last week in a midweek into the SEC, you know, weekend rotation. But we'll see. He's talked about it. With all that said, I think Arkansas in a regional setting, they've got the type of pitching depth that they can play five games and you know, be in a decent spot. A super regional, it really is going to all depend on those two and three pitchers. You know, with Hagen Smith, that gives you an automatic advantage where you feel like you'll win when he's on the mound. If the guys behind them pitch like they did earlier this year, huge advantage. If they pitch like they did against Kentucky and some of the recent starts in the SEC, I'm not sure that advantage still exists.
It's funny to hear you say that because I feel the opposite about Mississippi State. I feel like in a three-game set with Steven and Gerangelo Sanja, I feel great about State's chances to get two games. But you talk about four or five games, I don't know that State has the depth to get through all that. So that's an interesting comparison for these two teams. And, of course, we won't need to compare them. We'll see them play this weekend up there in Fayetteville. Jackson Fuller from the Southwest Times Record, really appreciate your time, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Brian. You too.
All right, thanks to Jackson. Appreciate his time. Good thoughts there. And from there, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, throw some beef on the grill. Nothing better. Nothing better than some steaks, some burgers, some brisket, some tri-tip. Tri-tip needs – I got to find a tri-tip here in Starkville. Let's see if Kroger will – they had them. They used to have them. I need to – I know a guy over there. I'm going to be like, hey, can you And you need to do that too.
And you have your own recipe too. Like you,
I have
a tri-tip. You know how to cook a tri-tip. Nobody even told you.
Let's be very clear on tri-tip. All right. I've had that knowledge for many, many years. Anyone who is telling you that they told me how to cook a tri-tip, they are lying to you. You can't trust those guys. You know why I like tri-tip, by the way? It just tastes good. So that's what I'm talking about. I may do that this weekend. I'm definitely going to cook something on the grill this weekend. I got a get together. I got to bring some food to. So we'll see. We'll see how that's.
Yes. Going. Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. So beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. You know, he's seething again. I wish I could watch when he hears that.
He's slamming his fist down,
like,
on the table.
Son of a. Hey, Dad. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Dang it, Robbie. And we're looking for it tomorrow, right? We're going to Two Brothers?
We are.
We are. Yes, sir. Get in. That's what I'm talking about. I'm excited now. Now, again, I have a reason to live until Thursday. I wasn't ready to carry on, but now I'll give it another day. We'll see what tomorrow brings. It's going to bring a prime rib sandwich or maybe some pork rind nachos or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to get. I'm going to have to think about that. They may have a special, too. You never know with those guys. They sometimes they just like, hey, today we're making this, and that might be what I want to get. We'll find out tomorrow at Two Brothers, or today as you're listening, at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage. I got to stop looking at my phone. Advantage Business Systems. Because y'all are messing with me. Stop. Stop tweeting. Stop texting. You stop that. Robbie has taken advantage of my of jokes that I like to laugh at and my incredible lack of attention to things, and he's taking advantage of that, right? Great products and great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. When you need technology for your business, it's just a call away. A great new copier, a new printer, top of the line, and you'll get a great price on it. Don't worry about that. But more importantly, when it jams up, when it won't print, when something's going wrong, because something always does, you need to know that a service is just a phone call away. Quick service, fast service, friendly service. Not the kind of service you get when you're on hold for 45 minutes with a 1-800 number. That's the difference Advantage Business Systems gives you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, any weekend, if you're looking for new Mississippi State gear, and again, I know that you are, then you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co. They are the best place in town to find Mississippi State gear. They've got stuff that you can't get anywhere else, including the Bulldog Initiative clothing that you see our coaches wearing. You can only get it at Maroon & Co. So if you're going to be at Diddy Noble, if you're going to be at Davis Wade, if you're going to be at the Hump, before you step foot in there, make sure you've got a trip to Maroon & Co. plan. Get some new gear now. Use the promo code THUNDER15, 15% off all regular price items. Some exclusions apply at Maroon & Co. Well, Robbie, Mississippi State has procured the services of a defensive lineman out of the transfer portal, but it's not the one we thought it was going to be. As we learned yesterday, By Job has committed to Kansas, which means Illinois transfer Anthony Johnson is now committed to Mississippi State. One of these guys who tried to spring somewhere and it didn't work out came from into the portal from Youngstown State, where he had a relatively productive season. Did a spring in Illinois, didn't crack there too deep, and felt like he should have. So he goes into the portal, and now he'll be a Mississippi State Bulldog. Kind of caught us off guard yesterday. I think he committed around 4 o'clock, and I don't think anybody was projecting that was going to happen, predicting that was going to happen. But it has happened. And, you know, the story of Mississippi State's defensive portal recruiting continues. They haven't hit their priority targets. They haven't been able to get guys on campus, but they have been able to find some guys that can at least help them fill out this depth chart and provide a little bit of something going into the fall.
Yeah, a guy that was, you know, a few weeks ago it felt like was pretty much a shoe-in that he was coming to Mississippi State. And I don't know if State kind of put him on the back burner. And when they missed on By Jove, they came circle back around and said, hey, we're ready to take your commitment. I don't know. But, you know, not incredibly productive. He had 5 sacks in his career at Youngstown State. He's moved around. This is like his 4th school. I'm not anticipating just a tremendous amount of productivity out of him, but at least, you know, maybe he can add some depth. My expectations for this defense are extremely low. Whatever they give you that's above that, I think is a win for them. And I'm not trying to crap on the guy or anything, but you look at the guys that they're picking up and you look at the offer list or whoever's after them, and that kind of tells you, to me, the type of talent you're going after. I just don't think that Mississippi State has a ton of difference makers that they brought in from the portal on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't know if it's evaluations. I don't know if it's lack of interest from other players. I can't tell you because I'm not in the offices with those coaches. I don't know if they're just missing out on getting those kids to campus, but there's been hardly anybody that's come to campus on the defensive side that I would look at and say, that guy is really going to help Mississippi State next year. But it's really strange.
The one guy that said he could do that is Kobe Miner, the transfer cornerback from Indiana. He visits Mississippi State and then immediately tweets, my recruitment is still open. So,
yeah, well, I mean, you know, what's going on?
One thing I feel confident in, and I've said this before, is that I don't think it's an NIL issue. Because if it was, you wouldn't be getting the traction with the offensive guys that you're getting. You clearly have funds available to get guys on campus. But for whatever reason, whatever's being sold to them about what this defense is going to be, about what they can do at Mississippi State, it's missing the mark. There's just no way around that. So I don't know if State's going to end up with another cornerback or not. They may just have to go into the season with what they have. But that's just the story of this right now. And this defense, I think, you know, because we have low expectations for it, I figured Jeff Lebby, probably not too different from us, right? You know, I know he's going to say the right things, and we expect to compete, blah, blah, blah. He knows what he's got on that side of the ball, and he'll reevaluate. But as I said, and I keep seeing people post about it on message boards, and I'm just going to be really surprised, regardless, unless they are just one of the worst defenses in the country. And I mean sub-100, sub-115 kind of defense. Then I don't see there being a lot of changes on the defensive side of the ball as far as staff goes, because he's going to give them an opportunity to prove themselves and to get some players in here next year when they have some things on tape. I keep seeing that it's like, oh, it's going to be 1 year, but better not unpack. I don't buy into that right now.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a process for that defensive side of the ball, and maybe they can get some more traction as the season goes on and kids begin to kind of build those relationships. I think A lot of it probably has to do with the fact that it's a staff that just doesn't have a lot of experience in those roles. I mean, maybe not the staff, but the defensive coordinator is a big part of that. And neither one of these guys have been defensive coordinators. I know the Hutzler was a co-defensive coordinator at Texas for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
But none of these guys are really proven. They're not real proven names. So that's probably a concern for guys that are transferring and wanting to spend their final year on the college campus. I'm sure they've looked into that. I imagine that's part of the concern. I really don't think it's a recruiting problem. Like, these guys can't recruit because they've done it before at bigger schools. I just think right now there's just a lot of uncertainty when kids look at Mississippi State's defense and their staff, and they're trying to make a decision. And I can't explain the defensive line. I really can't. I mean, David Turner has been really good at identifying talent. He's been really good at recruiting, beating out really big names over the years. But he's kind of struggled to find some, you know, really big guys to come in here and fill some roles. And having said that, there were some really good things said about Kedrick Bingley Jones and Kapaka in the spring. So we'll see. But
see, I mean, everything is wait and see on that side of the ball. And it kind of is on offense too, but at least with Lebby, you've seen it in action before. You've seen him calling plays. You know what his offense is going to look like. Defense, I mean, we just don't have any idea. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that this defense – I recall Leach's first year, and we spent – I mean, it was me and Joel at the time, but I know you did too on when you were on 24/7, that we were just like, look, this defense this year is going to be tough, man. I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be and they actually – they ended up surprising us. And that possibility exists too. I feel like people are so convinced that it's not going to be good that they don't allow for any possibility that it might be good. And now you're asking me. I say, yeah, they're probably going to struggle. I will tell you that. But I will acknowledge that the possibility exists that Trevion Williams is the stud that we've talked about for the past couple of years, and Bryce Pollock and Kelly Jones can be a solid cornerback duo, and Stone Blanton comes in and gives you the same production that you were getting out of Watson and Johnson, and John Lewis finally develops into the player. Those things can happen. I'm not telling you they're going to happen. I'm just saying that they can happen.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason you have to keep that possibility open is Mississippi State's defense has kind of transcended defensive coordinators and coaches and players.
Once.
It's like it's literally just been one time where the defense was god-awful. It's the culture here has been good enough where the defense has been at least tough and physical and been able to keep Mississippi State in games more often than not. 2016 is literally the only year that I can remember that the defense was just awful. So you have to at least consider the fact that it could be better than we all expect. So we'll see. I'm like you. I'm just going to wait and see on this one. I'm not going to proclaim it one way or the other.
Yeah, as we should. All right, tomorrow's show, a lot more preview of Mississippi State versus Arkansas. Plenty to talk about there. Plus, who knows? We might have something else fun to do. You never know with us. We're crazy like that. All right, guys, have a great Thursday. Back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.